This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Federal prosecutors have issued more subpoenas in their investigation into the Duke Energy spill that poured 82,000 tons of coal ash into the Dan River. 20 employees of the state's Department of Environment and Natural Resources received requests for documents about any relationships they have with Duke Energy. WNC's Jeff Tabiri has been following the story and joins us now. Hello,
any
Jeff.
Any implication?
Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
That didn't sound at all like you. You have
that
bit
was
of a
not
cold.
Me. We'll get to the secretary in a second, I think.
Okay. Tell us about the subpoenas. What are the prosecutors looking for?
Well, they're looking for documents, receipts, any records that would indicate benefits, bribery, things of value that could have exchanged hands going from the Duke Energy side of things to Diener employees, Department of Environment and Natural Resources, possible illegal benefits.
What makes them suspicious that there might be these kinds of relationships?
You know, that's not totally clear at this point what the hunch is based off of or what the anecdotal or perhaps evidence that the Department of Justice has. Some of this most likely pertains to the lawsuits that were proposed by the Southern Environmental Law Center, and then Diener kind of stepped in to settle those lawsuits. And in the eyes of the environmentalists and many, these lawsuits were filed originally about violations of the Clean Water Act, and the settlements, according to many folks, were really not much of a settlement at all. The background on that is that the environmental groups wanted to sue, and the state stepped in and was going to settle for a fine of a little less than $100,000, and really no clear plan or timeline for remediation or removing the coal ash or doing anything with the coal ash. Environmentalists said, you know, this isn't much of a settlement.
Less than $100,000 would be the fine for clean water violations?
Yeah, and this is a company that netted $19.6 billion last year. It's the nation's largest electricity provider. It's a $50 billion company. So a fine of $99,000 to your eyes, probably a lot more than it is to Duke.
And this is what the state recommended, and then that set back the actual lawsuit that might have resulted in certainly higher fines.
Yes, and to look at this from the state's perspective, the Secretary of Diener, John Scavarla, said yesterday his approach to this was, wait a second, we wanted to settle because we didn't want to go to court. We didn't want to drag this thing out for 5 or 6 years. And he noted that that fine would have been bigger than any fine that Duke had ever been levied in the state's history. So that's how he's saying, you know, hang on a second. This was a settlement, and here is why we wanted to propose it that way. A week after this coal ash spill happened in early February, Diener did go to the federal judge, and this is pretty rare, but Diener did go to the federal judge and said, all right, please don't rule on that federal settlement yet. It needed a judge's approval. So they backed off of it. They essentially said, this was our proposal, but please don't push it through or issue a ruling on it right now because we want to take another look at it.
And here's what Scavarla said about that settlement that the state tried to reach with Duke Energy.
So any implication or any allegation that Diener and Duke got together and made some smoky backroom deal with a nominal fine is just absolutely not true.
So we'll have to wait and see now. The lawsuit may go forward. That's still up in the air and subject to a federal judge's approval. Meanwhile, Diener is saying that it's cooperating with environmental groups. Here's what the secretary had to say yesterday about that.
Somehow or another, this perception has been created that we are adversaries to the citizens groups, when in fact, we are all on the same side of the table. We are partners.
So, Jeff, that was at a news conference yesterday. Were any of those partners at the news conference?
They were not. Several of those environmentalists who I talked to before the press conference indicated to me they weren't even welcomed in the building. I wasn't totally sure what that meant. And they said, well, tomorrow's press conference, speaking with them Tuesday night and early yesterday morning, the press conference was for credentialed media only. So, no, they were not part of that press conference yesterday. Those citizens groups and environmental groups haven't been part of any meetings that I've been to. They haven't been at the table with the state, so to speak. So, you know, environmentalists and citizens groups have called that claim laughable. They say they haven't been included in settlement talks. Diener says, well, you know, they didn't ask to be included in the settlement talks. So take that for what it's worth.
And they've got a lawsuit pending, which is taking on all of these same questions. So what has Duke's response been so far?
Duke's response has been some broad statements. You know, they're going to deal with this. They're not happy about the coal ash spill. They've said they will pay for the cleanup. So you know, some of these things remain to be seen. They have not issued any kind of specific timeline or specific plans for remediation. Over the last 2 weeks, there is, of course, this pipe that ruptured. They have since plugged it off and filled a good portion of it with cement. There's a second stormwater pipe that runs under the coal ash pond. And pretty quickly after the first one broke, you know, many of us in the media, many environmentalists, had questions about the durability and structure, if there was any risk associated with that second pipe, and also the water running through it, what was the issue with the water, if any? You know, we just had questions. Four different Duke Energy employees have said to me over the last 2 weeks that the pipe is structurally sound. There's no issue with the water. So it was a bit of a surprise earlier this week when Diener ordered Duke to immediately stop using that second pipe because Diener did some water sampling of its own. They tested some water that was going through that second pipe, not ruptured, and found levels of arsenic to be 14 times the acceptable limit.
All right. So we've actually got two stories here, but they're very closely correlated. One is subpoenas and a federal investigation into relationships between potentially illegal relationships between Diener employees and Duke employees, all going back to clean water lawsuits filed by environmental groups. And then, of course, we have this most immediate story, the rupture, how it's been handled by the state and the impact it's having on our environment. So those are two stories very closely correlated.
Correct.
So one of the questions is what should we do with all that coal ash? Diener's secretary said the environmentalists so far have presented one-size-fits-all, or-nothing approaches, and they have been unacceptable to the state. But I understand the state of South Carolina has, in fact, found some way to agree with environmentalists and get rid of coal ash ponds, right?
That's right. So following some pressure and, you know, similar lawsuits from the Southern Environmental Law Center, SCE&G and Santee Cooper, which are utility companies in South Carolina, agreed to clean up coal ash. This began in 2012. They initially agreed to clean up about 2.5 million tons of coal ash, then another 1 million tons. And now, all told, those two utilities have agreed to remove about 11 million tons of coal ash. Frank Holloman, who's a senior attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, I've chatted with him several times. He said to me the estimate is that they've cleaned up about 25% of that so far.
It can be done. We will stay tuned. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Frank.
Jeff DeBeery continues to follow this story, and we will hear more from him later. Right now on The State of Things, we're going to take a break and then talk with a writer about the relationship between a mother and a son and her new novel. You're listening to The State of Things on North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.